Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Frances Brown, and welcome back to Candid, a podcast by AMDA and Swatch. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Candid. This is Frances. I'm your new host, and I am so excited to be here today for my very first solo episode. It feels like years ago when me and Grace recorded the last episode, and it was so much fun talking to her. And it's just crazy being a listener of the podcast since it came out to actually be the host. And I can't describe how grateful I am and how overjoyed I am at this opportunity. I think it's going to be so fun and such a great way for me to connect with other people in my major, but just other people all around. And I feel so blessed for this opportunity. And I cannot wait for what is to come. I think that Candid is only going to get more and more fun from here on out. And that actually brings me to my next point, which is that Candid has an Instagram officially. Our amazing PR chair, Sydney, helped me set it up. And I'd love for you guys to go follow it. And you can message me and text me, send me pictures, call me on Instagram. Just kidding. But actually, you guys, I'd love for any feedback or requests or whatever it may be. Send me your OOTD, literally anything. I'd love to hear from y'all. So go follow it. We'll follow you back for sure. Love a follow back. And yeah, so everyone, welcome to the new Candid. I'm your new host, and that's so surreal to say. I have such huge shoes to fill. Grace just did an incredible job with this podcast, and I really can't speak to how amazing she is. And she's such a role model for me, honestly. And I know she is going to go so far, and maybe she'll come back for an episode, fingers crossed. But I really do feel like there's so much to live up to. She did such an incredible job, and she really set the precedent of what Candid is and what it's going to become. So we love you, Grace, and we're going to miss you so much, but I'm so honored to take over this position, and I really cannot wait to connect with everyone and just get to talk to you guys and tell you about my life, whether it be about being a college student or my personal life or navigating the fashion industry, which is something that I know a lot of you are interested in. And I cannot wait to get into it. So I wanted to do a little brief introduction to me. I mean, who doesn't love talking about themselves? Just kidding. But I wanted to tell you guys a little bit more about myself so that you can kind of understand who I am a little more. I mean, who wants to listen to a stranger? No one does. I feel like everyone listening is my friend, even though I'm talking to a computer screen right now. I feel like I'm talking to my friends, and I want you guys to get to know me a little bit better. So my name is Frances. I am 20 years old, and I'll be 21 this August. Hallelujah. And I'm currently a senior at Auburn University, which is so insane to say. I cannot believe I'm a senior. It's definitely something that's very surreal and scary, but such a blessing to have made it this far, honestly. And I'm so excited about what's to come. So I am majoring, as I'm sure all of you know, in apparel merchandising, and I'm minoring in business. And fashion is something that has always been powerful to me, but I always have said, which actually, no, I haven't always said this, but let's pretend that I've always said this, that fashion isn't something that I chose necessarily. It's something that chose me. And as a kid, I was always very shy, which is something that when I tell people now, they don't believe me because I'm not shy in the slightest, you would think, but when I was a kid, I would hide behind my parents' legs in the grocery store. If we ran into anyone we knew, it was just disaster city over for me. I hated that. I hated any sort of attention in public, which is so funny to say because I am a Leo, fun fact. But that's just how I was. And for me, clothes were my armor in a way. And it's something that I look back on now and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I not know this all along? I didn't grow up knowing that I wanted to enter the fashion industry. That wasn't I wasn't the 5-year-old little girl who's, you know, flipping through the pages of Vogue and saying, that's going to be me. That wasn't really me. And I didn't really understand the importance of fashion when I was younger. But now looking back from my perspective, I understand what an influence it had on me. And I realized recently that when I was younger, my outfit, what I was wearing, gave me this sort of armor. And my clothes that my mom dressed me in, shout out to my mom, gave me an ability to speak without having to speak. And as a shy person, it kind of allowed me to define myself in a world that is oftentimes defined for you by other people. You walk into a room and people automatically assume who you are, what you know, where you come from. And my clothes kind of gave me a way to speak for myself without actually having to speak. It gave me a power. It gave me armor. And that's something that has become even more obvious to me now as I've learned more about the fashion industry and I've learned more about why I chose this. It's just ever present to me how important clothing is. And that's why I wanted to enter this industry, because I do think that clothes change lives. I mean, call me crazy, but I think that fashion is arguably one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, art form, because it's something that affects every single person in the world every single day, regardless of whether they're aware of it or not. I mean, you walk down the street and every single person that you see hopefully has clothing on. And I think that something that's very funny about being an apparel merchandising major is that people don't take it as seriously as you think they would, or I think they would. Obviously, a lot of people don't see this as a very prestigious or esteemed major, but they don't realize the work and the enormity of the fashion industry and just how much it affects every single person. You do not have to be a fashionista or somebody that knows the latest trends or knows every haute couture house and watches all the fashion shows or reads Vogue or Harper's Bazaar to be affected by this industry. And it's powerful. And while I love all the art forms, as most creative people do, I think that fashion is unique in that it's individual completely to every person. There's no rule book to clothing. There's no guideline. There's no plan that you have to follow. It just is. And every day you wake up, and whether or not you put on a Chanel tweed suit or jeans and a white t-shirt, you're making a choice and you're showing up in the world as you want to be seen. And that's what I love about clothing, is it gives you the power to define yourself. As I talked about earlier, that's kind of how fashion found me, is a desire to be seen as I wanted to be seen and not necessarily as how I was. And that's what I love. I love the transformation that fashion gives people. There's an instant boost in confidence and happiness and belief in oneself when someone puts on a piece of clothing that they feel comfortable in and that they feel represents who they are inside. And it's something truly magical to watch. And I encourage all of you, if you're not a big fashion person and you're listening to this, think of something in your closet right now that when you wear it, you feel completely like yourself and you feel a little bit brighter or a little bit happier, and it makes you smile a little bit more. And if that's not powerful, then what is? How could I want to be a part of anything other than that? And that's kind of another reason why I got into fashion, is I do think that it changes the world. Even if no one else thinks it does, I think it does. And I think that it's artistic, it's creative, but it also is analytical, and it causes you to think and to study and to understand and to be emotive. And it's romantic and it's incredibly difficult sometimes to understand why things are the way they are in fashion, or why this sells and why this doesn't. And obviously that'll be a large part of what I hope to do, which is to be a buyer eventually and eventually own my own company. But it's kind of understanding what the customer wants. Those types of things are also factors, which I don't think people think about. They think that you're just shopping and you know all the latest sales, which obviously, who doesn't know all the latest sales? I think that's an amazing quality, and that is a stereotype that I will happily accept, because that's just being a very smart consumer. I don't think that's superficial. I don't think that's stupid. That's just spending your money in an appropriate way. Anyway, it's so much deeper than that. And to label being an apparel merchandising major as some sort of Elle Woods. Exactly. Elle Woods, you guys. That's not even a bad thing. Elle Woods is the queen of all queens. If you haven't, has anyone not learned anything from Legally Blonde? Just because you're a fashion major does not mean that you're in lack of intelligence. Anyway, so that's a little bit about why I chose fashion. And I hope that anyone else that chose fashion kind of relates to that. And I'd love to hear about anyone else that's also an apparel merchandising major or apparel design major. I'd love to hear why you chose it, because one of my favorite quotes is from Andre Leon Talley, and he says that it's not fashion, but the people in fashion that I love. And that's another aspect of this major that is so special, is the people in it, and that everyone is creative and passionate and fun and sees the beauty in something as small as a piece of fabric or a dress. And I love that. I love that about apparel majors. So that's kind of why I chose fashion. So I'm going to get into the next little fun fact about me. I love to read. That is something that's a huge part of my life. I've always been a big reader, and it's something that I've kind of tried to continue as I've gotten older, and I've kind of gotten back into it over the last few years. I love to read books. I actually read around 70 books last year, and I'm trying to do 100 this year, but I've been a little bit more busy than normal, so hopefully we'll get there. But I absolutely love books. I love literary fiction, but I also love nonfiction. I love autobiographies. I love memoirs and psychological books, all kinds of crazy things. I genuinely will read anything. You know, when people are like, what's your music taste? And somebody says everything. I'm that person. And it's also me with books. I will read anything. If it's good, I'll like it. I'm not super picky, but I'd have to say my favorite book, my go-to answer is The Great Gatsby, because that's kind of how I fell in love with reading, when I understood the beauty of literature and just how powerful the perfect sentence can be. And prose is something that I really appreciate. I love beautiful language. I think anyone who's an apparel merchandising major loves beautiful things. And I love all beautiful things, including words. And I love when an author can put words together in a beautiful way. And when you feel like you have to take out your phone and take a picture of this sentence because it's just so perfect, I love to read, you guys. And if you also love to read, send me any book recommendations. I am always up for a new book to be on my list, so just let me know. Another fun fact, I also am obsessed with zodiac signs. I love astrology, and any of my friends will tell you, like, it's insane, my obsession with it. When I meet someone, almost every time within 5 minutes, I'm asking them, when's your birthday? I have to know. And it's almost creepy sometimes, because I'll meet someone once, they'll tell me their birthday, and I'll remember it, and I'll remember what sign they are, and I'll mention it later, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. How'd you know? And I'm like, girl, I know. I love it, and I really do believe in it. I think it's so fun. I'm a Leo, and I mean, that it makes sense. If you read about Leo, it makes sense that I'm obsessed with it, because obviously I wanted to learn more about being a Leo, but I love zodiac signs, and I'm kind of always following the stars and seeing what the moon is in. And, you know, Mercury's in retrograde right now, which is a little bit rough. If you know, you know, but we're going to make it out just fine, I promise. And yeah, so I think that's some juicy details about me. So I think that's enough. Nobody wants to hear about me all day. So I'm going to get into the episode, which is so fun. And this episode is titled Six in Six. So it's going to be about my six semesters and what I've learned. And boy, oh boy, have I learned a lot. I mean, you would hope. And I've definitely learned more than six things. I mean, God willing. But I kind of wanted to harp on the most important and not the silly things. I mean, there are just so many things in college that you learn, big and small, that just really leave an impression on you, let me tell you. But some are boring, like do not park in a parking spot that you're not supposed to park in Auburn. You know this, but actually don't do it because the ticket's never worth it. And it's just not worth it to take the risk because the day you do it, the parking people are out to play and they're ready to get you. And be careful doing your laundry in the dorm laundry room. Boring. I mean, obviously, spend your Tiger Card money. That's such a waste. If you get to the end of the semester and you have some money left, I had some money left this year and I'm kind of mad at myself. It was only $7, but I'm very, very disappointed because that's just $7 down the drain. And mom, if you're listening, ignore that. But yeah, so those are some fun things, some fun, boring things that I've learned, but I kind of wanted to get into juicier details. But before we get into that, actually, I wanted to start a couple of segments on the podcast. I love when podcast hosts do a little appetizer before they get into the meat of the episodes. So think of this as your cheese dip or your charcuterie board. This is kind of the fun little tidbit before we get into the juicy stuff. So the first one is going to be the quote of the week. And the second little segment is going to be a fashion icon of the week, which is fun. It's like a little history lesson for you and me both. And I thought it would just be a fun way to kind of bring fashion into the episode, even when it's not so much centered around fashion like it is in this one. So we're going to start with the quote of the week. Who doesn't love a good quote, you guys? Quotes are such a fun little way to inspire yourself. Inspire yourself. I don't know what I said before, but I love a quote. You can write this down. You can put it in your notebook. You can make it your phone background. It's just so fun. And this week's quote of the week is from none other than the icon, the legend, Diana Vreeland. And if you know her, you know she was the editor-in-chief of Vogue before Anna Wintour. And she quite truly is a legend in the fashion industry. And I loved reading about her and reading about what people thought of her and how she truly transformed the fashion industry. She was the head of Vogue in the 60s and 70s, which were such an incredible time for fashion. It's, you know, often known as the Gilded Age of fashion, where we started to see the emergence of young designers like Gianni Versace and Karl Lagerfeld. I mean, just absolutely insane the amount of talent that was present during that time. And it really just had an enormous shift in the fashion industry. And that was all thanks to her. She did such an incredible job. And I loved learning about her. I actually watched a documentary about her not so long ago. It's called The I Must Travel on Amazon Prime, I think. That's where I watched it, but I'm not sure where else it's available. And this is the quote. She says, I mean, a new dress doesn't get you anywhere. It's the life you're living in the dress and the sort of life you had lived before and what you will do in it later. And I love this because it kind of talks about how it's not often the clothes that you're wearing necessarily. You don't have to wear a Versace gown or a Coco Chanel suit or Giambattista Valli or Oscar de la Renta. You do not have to be in a Carolina Herrera gown to be fashionable and to be confident and to be stylish. It's not the dress that you're wearing. It's the person that's wearing it, and it's what it means to you. You can feel just as confident in a white cotton t-shirt as you can in a ball gown. And I think that's what I love about fashion, is it's not necessarily the luxury of the item or how expensive it is or where it was made. It's how you feel in it. And that's what is so powerful about it. And that's kind of what I think she's saying in this quote, is no expensive dress and no closet chock full of Louboutins and Manolo Blahniks can ever really replace true style, because style comes from within. It's about you and what you feel comfortable in, what you feel confident in, and what it represents for you and how you're choosing to show up in the world. And it's personal. Fashion is so deeply personal and unique to every single person. And I just loved this quote, and I thought you guys would like it too. And I also loved it because Diana kind of relates to our fashion icon of the week, which is Andre Leon Talley. If you know, you know. He is everything. He is also just was such a force in the fashion industry. And I also watched another documentary about him, and it's called The Gospel According to Andre, if you want to check that out. And he was known as, quote, the Pharaoh of Fabulosity. He is such an icon. I've always known who he was, but I didn't know quite much about the details of his life and how much adversity he overcame on his way to the top of the fashion industry. He was the front row at every show, and it was well deserved. He was from Durham, North Carolina. He was a true Southern gentleman, and he was very proud of his Southern heritage. And a lot of his inspiration from fashion came from his early days in North Carolina when he went to church with his grandmother on Sunday. He remembers everyone being in their Sunday best, and that was powerful for him to see everybody show up in their best clothes. And it's like, why don't we show up like that every day? Why are we not wearing our best of the best every single day? And he was African-American entering the fashion industry, and he actually was the first ever Black creative director at Vogue. He worked under Diana Vreeland, actually. He volunteered at the Metropolitan Museum of Art Costume Institute, which Diana was the head of, and he put together this look for the exhibit, and Diana saw it, and she asked one of the workers, who did this? Send them to my office now. And he went, and she said, you will be sticking by my side for the remainder of the show. And she immediately saw his talent and his potential, and she said, I must have him. And I think it's kind of a testament to what Andre believed about the fashion industry and about his success. He said that he didn't get there because he was beautiful or because he was skinny or because he was white. He got it because he was talented and he had a knowledge of fashion that was unrivaled and unmatched. And it showed when he walked into a room, he knew what to say. He knew how to speak the language that the people in fashion were speaking. And he had an opinion that was valuable. And it was his talent. It was his drive and his nerve that got him to where he was. And I think that's so inspirational. And I loved learning about him and what a force he was. I mean, he worked for Andy Warhol's Interview Magazine. He worked for Women's Wear Daily, the New York Times. And he eventually did take the fashion news director job at Vogue under Anna Wintour, who eventually named him creative director in 1988. And he is just the most entertaining man and such an inspiration to me. And I encourage all of you to look him up. And I actually have a quote that meant a lot to me and I loved, and it kind of ties into what I was talking about earlier in my experience with fashion. And he says that clothes are my security blanket and my outfits are my armor against the world of the chiffon trenches. Ugh. Too good, you guys. I love, he always talks about the chiffon trenches, about him in the fashion industry, because yes, it is glamorous and it is fun and it is luxurious, but it's also so hard to make it. And he made it. And even when he was at the top, he was still dealing with racism and backlash and homophobia and doubts towards his talent and his ability. And he overcame it every single time because of his sheer belief in himself. And it was just, He's such an inspiration to me, and we love Andre Leon Talley, and he is such a perfect fashion icon of the week. So I hope you loved hearing about him. And now, without further ado, let's get into six in six. So number one, this is arguably, to me, the most important one. And it's one that I wish I knew and I really embraced and I understood when I was a freshman, but it's something that I've been taught time and time again. I'm talking every single day. This is something that I'm becoming more aware of as a powerful tool in my life. And that is to be as uncomfortable as humanly possible, because comfort a lot of the time is complacency with how things are. And what I mean by this is that those first few months of college and just life in general, being comfortable with how things are and fearing the unknown, fearing doing different things, fearing reaching out, fearing achieving your goals or making new friends or talking to people or getting out of that bubble that you've been in is the thing that is holding you back the most. And it's oftentimes the thing that is driving yourself deeper into misery. And there's so many moments freshman year where you're given the opportunity to be an awkward, uncomfortable, nails on a chalkboard situations in your mind. First off, they're not actually that bad. It's just in your mind, it seems like the worst thing in the world. Oh, this is so weird. This is so uncomfortable. But you have to do things like that. You have to do things that you think are the most awkward, crazy, just terrible things in the world to live a life of fun and of excitement and of purpose. And something that was very scary to me coming in was making friends. And I think a lot of people that are 18 and entering college just think that you're going to get there and 2 days later, you're going to have this amazing group of 10 friends who love you so much and you do everything together and you go on trips every weekend and you're just living your best life. And that's not true. You guys, like, newsflash, if anybody thought that was true, it's not. But if that did happen for you, girl, text me the story, because that is just like magic. I'm so jealous. That sounds like the best time, but sadly for me, that's not how things worked out. And it took a lot of lessons, just not even in friendships alone. I think that friendships are one of the most important aspects of college art, like, is your relationships and the people that you meet and what they teach you about yourself and about others and about how to live in this world and how to interact with people and how important and how valuable that is. But also in a professional aspect and a school aspect, something that has always stuck out to me and something that I've remembered time and time again is that closed mouths do not get fed. Always ask, always do the most awkward things that you can think of. And they're not even awkward, which is the funniest part. I think that our generation especially thinks that the most normal day-to-day things are just absolutely insane, whether it be asking someone at the grocery store for help if you can't find something. That's something that seems crazy to me, but it's normal. Or emailing a teacher because you might need an extension on a paper. Like, hello, why is that so weird? But those things that are so uncomfortable are the things that propel you forward. There are so many times, and me being the host of this podcast, reaching out for that and applying for that in the past to my freshman year self, I would have told myself, girl, you're not qualified for that. Who are you? Like, you're no podcast host. Like, girl, Spotify is not calling. Like, who, like, what makes you applicable for this position? But as I've grown and realized that things like this, going after things, even though you don't necessarily believe that it will work out or that it's normal to do, those will lead to the most beautiful experiences in both friendships and career and life. And some of the most strange situations like, okay, again, not really strange, but some of the most uncomfortable things that I've done have led to the best things in my life, whether that be texting a girl I barely knew and asking her to hang out with me and then us becoming best friends and roommates, or applying for a job that I didn't have anything on my resume for that was remotely related and getting it, and it being such a huge force in me getting my internship and my career, or even when I'm just in public and I talk to a stranger and I learn about her life and about what she's been through, and I'm put into perspective of how blessed I am and how many lessons I have to learn. There are just so many great things that come from being uncomfortable, and you have to be uncomfortable to eventually be comfortable and to see things that you've never seen. You have to put yourself through that door of opportunity. You have to answer when opportunity calls. You can't sit in your room and wish and pray and hope for a text or a phone call. That's not really how the world works. And to be something, I've learned, or to have something, you kind of have to become it. If you want to have a friend, you have to be a friend. If you want to have this amazing life, you have to be the type of person that is deserving of an amazing life. And everyone's deserving of an amazing life, by the way. But you can't sit around and wish on a shooting star that things will happen to you. You kind of have to make them happen for yourself. Again, closed mouths do not get fed. If you don't ask, you will not receive. So don't be afraid to text people and say, hey, like, I think we would get along so well. Would you want to get coffee with me? Or go look for a job listing and see that there's literally nothing on that list of skills desired that you have, but you know that you're a hard worker and you know that you'll do anything to prove yourself. Apply for it and join a club that you don't know anyone else that in it. You don't know anyone else that's applying for it. Do it anyway. And I'm trying to teach myself this still being a senior. And I think that it's something that I'll learn throughout the rest of my life again and again, is that being uncomfortable is powerful and it's a part of the human experience. It's not avoidable. You can't wrap yourself in bubble wrap and expect magical things to come to you. You kind of have to make it happen for yourself. Make it happen for yourself. Don't sit around and wish. I wish I could tell myself that. Baby 18-year-old me, I wish I could tell her there's no such thing as sitting around and wishing when you have legs, you have a voice, you have an able body that can speak and move and create action and be uncomfortable, everyone, and put yourself out there. You just never know what will happen when you ask someone a question or you reach out to someone. When you put yourself in the way of opportunity, magical things happen. So now we're going to get into number two, and that is, you can't expect a flower to be a tree, and you can't expect a tree to be a flower. They're two completely different things. And this little metaphor is kind of talking about college life and looking at what your life is. And I know everyone comes in with these expectations of what college is going to be like for them. And you have a map in your mind of the people you're going to meet and the grades you're going to make and the clubs you're going to join and a picture-perfect Instagram reel in your mind of college and the best days of your life. And when it doesn't match up to that in reality, because it never really does. Also, how boring would that be if everything just happened how we expected them to happen? It would just be like, next, like, we have to have some plot. We have to have some character development. But anyway, when you see the reality of it, you can oftentimes feel disappointed. And I know that happened to me several times where I was like, is this it? Like, this isn't what I envisioned. This is not what I thought college was, because I was expecting a flower to be a tree. And instead of enjoying what was, I was thinking about what I wished for in the past. And there was so much excitement and magic and beauty in what already was my life and I was still wishing for something else, even though I wouldn't necessarily be happier. Just because things could be different doesn't mean that they would necessarily be better. And I want everyone to remember that. That's something I'm still learning, is that enjoying how life is right now is the best thing that you can do. We can't wish for some invisible, unpromised future. We can't wish things to be different as they are. Flowers and trees are both beautiful and perfect in their own ways. They are different, but they're both such an important part of life. They're fun. They're both fun to look at. They both serve a purpose, and they both are magical in their own ways. We can't wish for something to be something different. And you can't expect that either. That's just the way life is. And there's never going to be a good life or a bad life. There's always little bits and pieces. It's kind of like the yin and yang. There's always going to be good and the bad. There's always going to be some bad and the good, but that's just how life is. It makes it special. If everything was great all the time, then there would just be no drama, no interest. I mean, that would just be so boring. Nobody reads a book where the character is happy all the time. That just actually sounds like the most mind-numbing book in the world. Nobody watches a movie where there's no fight or climax or overcoming. You're overcoming things. And remember that you're being. You're not being. You're not existing. You're becoming. And especially in this stage of your life, you are becoming who you're supposed to be. And things are going to be way different than you thought. So much different. And it's better that way. It's so much more fun to kind of enjoy things as they are and see what happens. Just see what happens. And if you're a freshman, you just have no idea how much is in store and how many fun things are in store for you. And that kind of brings me to my third lesson, which is wherever you go, there you are. And this was a quote from a philosopher. I can't remember the name, but when I read it, it was actually in a book I read. I think it was The Untethered Soul, which is kind of a hippy-dippy book, but it's so good. And it kind of just refers to the fact that you will never be able to escape yourself. And when we desire different circumstances, like when we say to ourselves, if I went to a different college, maybe I'd be happier. Or if I went on a trip and I got out of my town for this week, I'd just be so much happier. I'd be happier if I had different roommates. I'd be happier if I didn't live in this dorm room, if I lived on a different floor, if I was in a different sorority or club or a different major, I'd just be so much happier. And especially in college, when you're first starting out, you kind of place your value or your happiness in these things that are so outside of yourself. And you think that if you could change those things, those external circumstances, that you'd be so much happier. And that couldn't be further from the truth, because wherever you go, there you are. You're always going to be stuck with yourself. And we don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. And there were so many times in my freshman year where I was so pessimistic and I was so angry, which is undoubtedly because I was transitioning from high school to college, which is so hard, by the way. And nobody talks about how hard it is. And I was scared and I was uncomfortable and I was sick of having to do my laundry in this laundry room that was so awkward. And people would be sitting on the laundry machine and it's just like, do we talk? I don't know. Random things like that. Guys, I was a little bit of a drama queen, which is also a fun fact. Where like the smallest thing in the world would just seem like, oh my gosh. I mean, you would have thought that I had just gotten back from the war when I came home for the weekend. Like, you guys don't know what I've been through. I mean, the amount of texts that I sent my sister and my mom just being like, this is too much. I can't handle this. I'm just a kid. And I still do that, which is, I still do that every time I'm like faced with some aspect of adulthood. I'm like, oh, I'm just a kid. You guys, I can't do this. And yeah, I am just a kid. Everybody's just a kid. I think that I'm going to be a kid until I'm at least 45. But these little things would upset me so much and send me into this frenzy. Like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Oh, this is so stressful. And I would think, oh, maybe I picked the wrong school. And I know, isn't that crazy? How dare I ever say that, you guys? But I was like, oh, maybe I picked the wrong school. I never thought, did I pick the wrong major? I knew apparel merchandising was for me. That was never a question. But do I have the right friends? Am I making the right friends? Am I in the right groups? Am I in the right clubs? And maybe if I was friends with these people, I'd be happier. Maybe if I was in this club, I'd be happier. And it was always this or that. I was placing my happiness on this external circumstance and my state of being where I was. And that's just not the truth, girly, because if old Frances is listening to this, which I know she's not because that's insane, girl, you might be the problem, which is so funny to say. Not saying that I was some like toxic, crazy person, but a lot of the times we are our own problems. And a lot of our complaints and our desire for different circumstances comes from our ideas about them, not necessarily the circumstance. And I actually read this quote today. I think it was in a comment section of a TikTok. And it literally had my jaw on the floor, you guys. Like, this was so good. And it was, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And that's William Shakespeare. I mean, that just ties it back. I'm sorry about all these quotes, by the way. I know that's just, I'm like an encyclopedia right now. But come in to college with this blank slate. Don't have any expectations. Don't make any instant judgments. Just enjoy things and embrace them as they are. Be excited about everything. Go get a little cup of frozen yogurt from your dining hall and act like it's the most magical thing in the world. Like you're eating Jenny's ice cream or gelato in Italy. Be amazed at everything because college really is amazing. And it's such a blessing to be able to go to college, you guys. So if that's the thing that gets you up every morning and makes you happy and makes you enjoy that state of your life, especially when it gets hard, remember how lucky you are to go to college. That is such a blessing and such a rarity for so many people. And there's so many people that have probably made sacrifices for you to go to college. There are so many people that helped you along the way. And if you are also supporting yourself, be proud of yourself that you're putting yourself through college. That is such an incredible thing. And if your parents are supporting you, thank them, because I can't even describe, as I've gotten older, I've just realized what a blessing it is to be here and to experience this and to be with such amazing people and friends. And to enjoy being in college is truly such a gift. And I'm just going on a tangent. But anyway, the whole point of number three was that sometimes the way you see things is not as they actually are. We can oftentimes be clouded by frustration, especially in times of change. Don't make any instant judgments those first few months or that first year. Just accept that you're changing and that you're growing and that it is a hard time. You're getting older. Ew, I know. Who wants to get older? It seems really fun, you guys. It does. But I'm thinking after I turn 21, I'm just going to be like a birthday hater and hate my birthday because the idea of aging terrifies me. But you are getting older and you're kind of transitioning out of your childhood. You're an adult. You're grown. And that's hard. That's a death. That's a little death in a way of the person that you always were and everything you've always known. So be kind to yourself also. Like, yes, I was a little crazy and I wish I could go back and like slap some sense into myself because I was kind of a brat and a complainer and annoying and pessimistic those first few months of college. But also I should have been kinder to myself and understood that everybody's going through this transitional period and it's hard and it's really difficult, like harder than the ACT, you guys. I'm telling you, it's very hard, but it's so worth it. And sometimes all you need is a change in perspective and you're always going to be with you, girl. So sometimes when you make an instant judgment about something or you find yourself really hating the position you're in life, realize like that's just you seeing it that way. That's not the way it actually is. So now we're going to get into number four, finally. And that is to work hard, but also play. because you will not get this time back. And it's really funny. My mom always has sung, ever since me and my siblings were kids, she would always sing this song, "You're gonna miss this." And my friends, if you were listening to this, that is like my trademark song. Every time me and my friends, like the other week, me and my best friend were trying to convince our other best friend to go get Sonic with us. And this was just a random like weekday night. And we were like, girl, we got to go get Sonic. Like, it'll be so fun. Let's get a little slushy. Get nerds in your slushy at Sonic. It'll change your life. And she had brushed her teeth, so she didn't want to go, which is hilarious. And I started singing that song. We both sang it for her. You're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. You're going to wish these days hadn't gone by so fast, period. And while I'm a firm believer in hard work and kind of literally going after everything you want, working, I work almost full time while being in college. And I do that because it's helping me in my career. And it is hard, but it's so worth it because of what I've gotten out of it, not just having experience on my resume, but also just real life professional experience, talking to people, knowing what it's like to be in a work environment and getting used to that has been transformational and amazing. But while working is important and hard work is important, I mean, I will tell you again and again, hard work is important. Remember that you're in college and you're not going to get these moments back. And this is more of a recent lesson for me and learning to sometimes close your laptop and take a day off of work and take back some hours if you're working, or kind of lessen your commitments, because you're not going to remember, which you will remember, but it won't stick out to you. An A plus on an exam will not stick out to you the way that your memories and your friendships and your relationships will. And some of my happiest memories in college were random nights where me and my roommates would walk to the C store and go get a slushy and then just sit and talk for hours and hours. And I wouldn't have had those moments if I had been in my room studying, or if I had been working, or if I had been at one of various club meetings. I wouldn't have been there. And that's something that's important, is to remember that being busy isn't necessarily a strength. It can oftentimes be a weakness, because it's better. And know, if you're a study person, I'm not saying that school isn't important. Everybody thinks school is important. I think school is very important, and studying and doing well are obviously very important. But I think so much of college is the people that you spend it with, and you're not going to get this time back. You're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. So have as much fun as you possibly can. Go to dinner with your friends. Talk to your friends every single day. Hang out with your roommates. You can do your homework together. Make things fun and absorb this experience, and don't put so much pressure on yourself to be perfect or to have a 4.0 so you can get the perfect job. Because when you get the perfect job, you're going to wish that you had spent some of those moments with the people that you love and doing fun things and waking up at 5 a.m. to go to a basketball game instead of sleeping in so you could study all day, which obviously, if you know me, you know, like, I'm not going to study on Saturday. That's absolutely heinous. I would never do that. But I'm just saying, if that's your thing, put it into perspective that an A is not going to be, you're not going to take a picture of the A on your exam and put it in your scrapbook. You're going to be taking pictures of your friends while you're making memories. So while you should work hard, you should also have fun and enjoy this special time in your life, because you're not going to get it back. And I know I wish I could get some of it back, because now that I'm getting older and I'm aging like fine wine, I'm starting to think of moments where I wish I would have said yes more. And always say yes, you guys. You don't have to say yes to everything. Obviously, that'd be insane. You have to have a little bit of a backbone, but say yes as much as possible. Say yes to the random things. Say yes to a spur of the moment ice cream run, or just walking on campus at midnight, or going for a picnic. Do everything. Do absolutely everything, because you're going to wish one day that you had, and you're going to be glad if you did, and you're going to miss it if you don't. So that is one of my favorite pieces of advice and probably my most recent lesson. And now we're going to get into number 5, which is a really good one. And I love this one because it kind of ties everything together in a way. And number 5 is to get your insecurity out of the way as quickly as possible. Squash it, throw it out, trash, take it to the consignment store. Girl, she's got to go. And this is something that I think everyone needs to learn. Obviously, everyone has insecurities, and college kind of like puts a magnifying glass to that. You're in the most fragile state of your life. Your freshman year of college, you're going to college, you don't know anyone, you have no friends, you feel like a freak, and everything's kind of brought to the surface in those first few weeks because there's so much havoc going on. And I know for a lot of people, you're going through sorority rush, or you're applying for things, you're applying for clubs, whatever it may be. And rejection can kind of cause insecurity. And I think a lot of my insecurities just came from just being in a fragile place, missing home, and kind of wishing for the life that I had before I came to college, which was comfortable and it was easy, which, remember, number one, be as uncomfortable as possible. This is just all coming together. But being insecure kind of keeps you from living your best life and being your best self and doing the most fun things. And it really is just a concrete wall. And the Eiffel Tower is on the other side, girl. There is a sunset, a rainbow, Eiffel Tower, leprechauns, all the fun things, bunnies, rainbows, an Hermes bag on the other side. And you can't see it because you have this big wall of concrete insecurity that's keeping you out of it. And this fear of looking stupid or saying the wrong thing or looking like you don't have any friends or wondering, you know, what people are thinking about you and if you're enjoying college. Am I looking like I'm having enough fun? The amount of people that have told me that they felt like they were performing on their Instagrams their freshman year, like they were posting for the people back home so they would think that they were having the best time in college when in reality they were miserable. And it's so funny how many of these conversations I've had after the fact. No one said anything freshman year. We just didn't speak about that, about how uncomfortable we were or how scared we were, but it kind of came out later. And we all say, all my friends were like, I wish I would have known you felt the same way. Like I literally felt like I was all alone. And you're not. Girl, everybody's scared. Everybody's insecure at this time in their life. And understand that if you don't knock that insecurity out of the way now, it's going to be this enormous roadblock. It's going to be this thorn in your side that you try time and time again to protect or cover up, but it's still a thorn and it's a barrier and it's keeping you from making the best friendships and it's keeping you from trying out for things and putting yourself out there and having fun and just enjoying your life and accepting it for what it is and not wishing a flower to be a tree, which remember when I said that earlier. So get that out of the way, girl. I don't know. I don't have a step-by-step guide, but I think my number one advice for insecurity is to accept things as they are and understand that they are how they are for a reason. And if you got everything that you wanted right now, in some universe, it wouldn't line up for your best timeline. And sometimes, especially in today's day and age, I don't want to get on a social media rant, but everything is for show. And I want you to think about when you post on social media, and this might not be applicable to you, but I know it is to a lot of people. Think about the thought process behind it. Are you posting when you're in your dorm room alone on a Friday night? Are you posting when you're crying and calling your parents saying how much you miss home? Are you posting when you make a bad grade on a test and you feel like you're the dumbest person in the room? Are you posting when you don't feel like you have any friends and you just had an awkward conversation and you feel like everybody hates you. You're not, because those things can't be conveyed in pictures. But somehow the most happy, fun, exciting, over the moon, shoot for the stars, crazy adventure, college can be captured and it can be put in an Instagram post. And nobody would post the embarrassing, the scary, the downright heinous things that happen in college, but they will post the exciting things. So take everything with a grain of salt. Understand that things are not always how they seem, and to wish for someone else's life or to wish for things to be different is just disrespectful, girl. Like, think about this. This is like the beginning. This is the beginning of your book. Like, how rude is that? Like, imagine the beginning of your life. This is just, I'm just going on a whim here. Imagine at the beginning of your life, you get this book and you're kind of like living your life and the book is getting filled, you know, a chapter, if you will, as everybody likes to say, the ending of a chapter, you know, that everybody talks about a chapter in their Instagram captions. So this is just going really well for this little metaphor. So you're given this book, and as you live, the book gets filled. And you, what if you just went, ew, this is so nasty. I hate this book. Next, I want that one. I want that pink, shiny one that this person has. Well, you're just hurting your book's feelings. Why is your book not good enough? Never wish for someone else's life or for a different experience than the one that you have. It's just lame. Why would I want to be anyone else when I can be me? And why would you want to be anyone else when you can be you? That is special enough and that is important enough. And get over that insecurity. Squash it in any way you can. I don't really know exactly how you can do it other than believing that your life can be good and someone else's life can be good. And there's no comparison. There's no competition. You can't compare two things that are completely different from each other. And you cannot get the whole story from someone just by looking at their social media or even knowing them, meeting them, and you just think their life is perfect. You have no idea the things people experience. And so remember that being insecure genuinely is just such a waste of time. It's so boring. It's so last year. It's just keeping you from being the amazing person that you are. And I know I was very insecure freshman year, and I know a lot of people are, and I still find myself sometimes feeling insecure, but then I remember how lucky I am to be me and how lucky everyone is to be themselves and how much better it is that we're all different and that we all have our own timelines and that we all reach things and reach milestones and reach points in our life at different times. How lame would it be if everybody got everything at the same time? You kind of have to understand that everybody has their moment, everybody has their day, and it might not be your time right now. You might not be the happiest or the most fulfilled at this point in your life, but you will be, and you can be. And someone else's success and someone else's happiness does not mean that yours is lesser than. They can coexist. And I really love this one. And I think that it can serve a lot of people, because being insecure can make you not a fun person to be around. It can make you be more judgmental, not only of yourself, obviously, but you can project that onto other people. And when you're so consumed in who you are and your life, you're less loving and you're less approachable and you're less kind and interested in other people. So squash that, put it in a jar and throw it out of the window. Like, it's got to go. And now we're going to get into finally number 6. And I can't believe we're already here, you guys, even though I've definitely been talking for about 3 hours. Just kidding. It hasn't been 3 hours, but it kind of has been. And that is to leave things better than you found them. And I mean this for every person, every place, every experience, every interaction. leave everything you touch in college better than you found it. And not just in college, but all throughout life. But I wish I'd come in with this mindset. And it's something that I'm still trying to kind of drill in my brain, that everything you do, everything you say is important. And every action you take is important. And it can be something as small as a conversation with a cashier or a wave hello on campus to somebody you don't really know or you've talked to multiple times. And you say, hey, and you remember their name. And something as simple as that is something that's had an effect on me when I met someone once and they remember me and they remember my name and they say hello to me and they wave to me on campus. That is something that's so small, but so powerful and leaves people feeling better and are opening the door. Hello. That's so easy. You guys, open the door, say thank you, say, excuse me. You know, if you order your Chick-fil-A to the wrong Chick-fil-A, text in a group meet or text your friend and be like, hey, if you want this, it's yours. Like, I'm not going to eat it. You can have it. Or getting breakfast for your friend before they have a big interview, or getting flowers for your roommates, just because who cares? It's Monday. It's flower day. Writing a note when your friend has a big test or something coming up and telling them that you're proud of them and you're wishing them the best luck. Manifest for them, you guys. Put your crystals out and put good intentions there. There are so many small things. You do not have to be the president of a club. You do not have to be on the board of whatever or in some important position to make an impact on your school or the people around you. It's the little things in your day-to-day life that show up. And you never know what one act of kindness will do for you. It will go so far. And I truly believe that we are our own PR agents. You are your own PR person. And I remember my mom told me this, and it's so true. You are quite literally your own advocate. And it's on you whether or not people remember their interactions with you in a good way or a bad way. You always have the choice to be kind and to be somebody that people want around, because you leave things better than you found them. And it can be something as simple as seeing a piece of trash and picking it up, or telling people good morning. I mean, why is that such a foreign concept? I don't even do that sometimes. And I'm like, why is that so weird? Or just texting your friends and like, I hope you have a great day today. Like, things like that. And I wish I'd done more of that when I had the opportunity to. And I wish that I had seen everyone in everything and every meeting and every class as a way to leave an impact and to be better and to leave things better. And so I really wanted to leave you guys with that. And going forward, how can I make today better? How can I leave today better than I found it? How can I spice up my life a little? And one of my favorite quotes, another quote, I know you're so annoyed because I keep saying quotes, but this one has always been my favorite. And it's, I will make everything around me beautiful. That will be my life. I just love that, especially as a creative person. I think we're always trying to see things for how they could be and not as how they are. And I want you to see every person, every interaction for what it could be and not how it is. A simple good morning could lead to a friendship for a lifetime, or a text, hey, would you want to get dinner with me this week? Could lead to a relationship with a friend. And remembering somebody's name, something so minute and minuscule and seemingly normal, could really be special when you met someone once and you remember their name and you wave to them on campus and you say hello. Things like that are your legacy, and they're what people are going to remember about you. And I know that small things like this have made the biggest impact on me and have completely shaped how I see some people. And there are people that I've had one positive experience with that I think of fondly and that I root for and that I cheer on and that I'm so thankful for. So I really encourage everybody to take this with you. And I'm so sorry for literally talking forever, but I felt like this had to be a little bit of a longer episode because we just have so much to get into. And I cannot wait for the next one. And I'd love for any requests. If you have anything that you'd like me to talk about, if you have any questions, feel free to message the Instagram. DM, I guess, is the proper word. Again, it's CandidXAMDA. Go follow it, girl. I'll follow you back. And it's going to be so fun to have that little platform where all of us can connect and hang out. And thank you again to Sydney for helping me set up that. She's amazing. And I'm so excited to be working with her this year. And I really cannot wait for next week. Thank you so much. If you listened all the way to the end of this, you are truly a saint. And girl, you did that, because I know I talked forever and I'm sure I can be boring sometimes. Gasp. But I'm so grateful for all of you and I cannot wait to be your next host. And it's been so much fun and I hope you have an amazing week and I'll see you next time.